In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. St. Gregory of Palamas, in his homily for today, the Sunday of the Last Judgment, pointed out that on the previous Sunday we read the parable of the prodigal son so that we would be reminded of God's mercy. But we read this parable today to remind us that there is a time when God's offer of mercy will come to an end, and then there will be the judgment. For us as individuals, this comes at the hour of our death. As St. Paul says in the Epistle to the Hebrews, it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this the judgment. But God's long-suffering offer of mercy will also come to an end for mankind when Christ comes again to judge the living and the dead. We have today many who consider themselves to be more biblical than the Bible, more patristic than the fathers. But as a matter of fact, when you analyze the spirit of what it is that they're saying, they're actually trying to modify what the church has always taught to tickle the itching ears of the spirit of this age. And they say, God is a God of love and not a God of wrath. And they also say, God's all about healing us and restoring us, but he's not about punishing us. God doesn't punish us, they will say. And the problem with this is not that it's all false, but that it's half true and half false. And so because they say something that's true about God, that God is love, it has a certain ring of truth to it. Yeah, God is love. We can see that in the scriptures. And we do know that God does want to heal us and to restore us. And so there are very many positive images of how God relates to mankind and how he desires that we be saved and does not desire the death of the wicked. But the scriptures also make it clear that God is not only a God of love, but he's also holy and righteous. God's merciful, but we also hear about his wrath in both the Old Testament and the New. It's not just an Old Testament thing. And also, when people talk about this, they very often start to tend in the direction of a heresy that occurred in the ancient church that was founded by a man by the name of Marcion, and he asserted that the God of the Old Testament was not the same God as the God of the New Testament. And so he rejected the entire Old Testament on that basis, because that God in the Old Testament was a mean God, whereas the God in the Gospels, that's a loving God. But this is a false dichotomy, because God is loving, but God loves the truth. God loves righteousness. And so when we continue to reject his offer of mercy and forgiveness so that we can be restored to the relationship that we should have, there comes a day when God will exercise judgment and punishment. And sometimes God punishes us during this life because that's a way that he brings us to our senses and leads us to experience that love and that mercy. But there is also an eternal punishment that awaits those who reject God's mercy and grace throughout their life. In the gospel that we've just read, it ends with these words, and these, referring to the goats, shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. Throughout the gospels, we hear and we see examples of Christ's love for sinners, and even on the cross, we hear him saying to those that were killing him and had tortured him, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And so it's true that Christ loves us and that he desires our salvation. But St. Paul in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, beginning with verse 9, says of Christ's second coming, that the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. And in today's gospel, you hear from Christ's own lips that when that day will come, he will no longer say to the sinners, come unto me, as he says throughout the gospels, but will say instead, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. When we talk about God, we're talking about a being that is far beyond our ability to comprehend. The prophet Isaiah said, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So we cannot even begin to comprehend what God knows and understands. We can only know what God reveals to us. And God reveals aspects of himself in different ways. And so when we read certain things in scriptures, it's like looking at one facet of a diamond. We can see one part of that diamond when we look at one facet, but there's a whole bunch of other facets that have to be taken into account. God condescends to speak to us in human terms. And so when the scriptures speak of God's wrath, it doesn't mean to convey to us the idea that God is an emotional being that gets angry and you finally hack him off enough to where he flies off the handle and he's angry. But when it speaks of God's wrath, that's a verbal image that describes an aspect of God's constant nature, and that is his hate to sin. And when we sin and we do that which is not pleasing to God, we begin to experience that constant hatred that God has to sin, and he begins to punish us because of our sins. It's not that God changed, it's that our behavior has changed. And when we repent, God forgives us and he receives us back. And so it seems to us from our human experience that God is no longer angry with us, but that he loves us. But the truth is that God always loves us even when he's punishing us. And he always hates sin even though he always loves us. It's sort of like when we talk about the sunrise and the sunset. We all know that the earth revolves around, or orbits, I should say, the sun. But we experience it in the way we see the sun rising, we see the sun setting. We know that the sun is not orbiting the earth, but that's how it appears to us, and so we describe it that way. And so when we say that, we're not lying, we're not trying to mislead people about the nature of the universe. We're just describing it in a way that conveys what we mean. And so there are things in scriptures that are there to convey to us aspects of God's truth. And it's certainly true that you can focus on certain aspects of God's truth and ignore other aspects of that, and then you wind up distorting the truth. And you certainly see that in the various heresies that have risen in the history of the church. But the way to avoid that distortion is not to go to the other extreme, because that you had the hellfire and brimstone preachers of the last century in various Protestant churches. And so to overcompensate, we're not going to talk about hell anymore. The problem with that is you've just gone to the opposite extreme, and you are also distorting the truth, just like those fire and brimstone preachers that never talked about the love of God or the fact that God is merciful or that he wants to heal us. Also, when we read in the scriptures about the fire of hell that awaits the wicked, what exactly the reality of that fire will be is not something that we can say for sure, because it's probably not going to be just like the flame that you see from a candle or from a torch. It's probably going to be something different from that, and the fathers say various things about that. But the main thing that we can say about it is that it's something that we don't want to experience. The reason why those images are used is because when we think about being burned alive, we think of that as being a very horrible way to die, and that's not something that we would want to experience. And so when we talk about the fire of hell, the scripture is trying to convey to us, this is a place that you don't want to go. The main thing is for us to avoid going to hell and not have to find out for ourselves what the unquenchable fire and the worm that dieth not really means by our own personal experience. The scriptures say that today is the day of salvation. Now is the appointed time. And the point of this gospel reading today is that we should not presume on God's mercy and continue on as we have, but that we should repent today. We have no promise of tomorrow. As St. John the Baptist said, "And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire." So let us enter the season of Lent diligently putting our hand to the plow and breaking up the fallow ground of our heart, sowing the seeds of fasting, alms, and prayer, and watering them with our tears as we weep over our sins. And then let us bring forth the fruits of repentance, that we may one day hear the words, "Well done, good and faithful servant, enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." Amen.